Our 30th president, Calvin Coolidge, once noted, "The foundations of our society and our government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country." End quote. That statement is about 100 years old. Well, how are we doing in passing the faith down to the next generation? Alas, not too well, it would appear. Well, one group that's working to reach young children with biblical truth is Awana. Matt Markins is the president of Awana, and he's written a new book called The Story We Tell Our Children. Matt Markins says, quote, "Kids in both churched and non-churched homes are swimming in dominant cultural narratives, no matter how much we try to protect them," end quote. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Matt Markins joins us now to discuss this. Matt, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jerry.
Sure. First of all, for those not familiar with it, what is Awana and what does it stand for? And then we'll get into this, the story we tell our children.
Certainly. Awana is a global child discipleship organization. We exist in 140 countries through 101,000 church partnerships. And what we do is we equip church leaders and parents on how to reach kids with the gospel and how to disciple them, which, to your point a minute ago, includes Bible engagement, how to engage the Bible on a consistent basis so that kids will know, love, and serve Jesus for a lifetime.
And what does Awana stand for?
Yeah, Awana stands for Approved Workmen Are Not Ashamed of the Gospel, that famous passage that we all know and love so well. We want children to know the Bible, know the gospel, and to be able to defend the faith and to share their faith in Jesus with others.
And I understand you've written a new book called The Story We Tell Our Children. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we've noticed that story impacts how we view the world, and it happens at an early age. My wife, for example, will tell you that a lot of women have a story in their mind and in their person, which is, I'm not good enough. Or you might be a person who has a story that says, no one's looking out for me. So what happens is stories form within us as little children, and we take these stories with us for the rest of our lives. And of course, the secular world around us is telling children all kinds of stories. Stories like the world came about as a result of Darwinian processes, or stories like if you just click the like button enough, you will be happy. Just purchase more things. All of these worldviews essentially are stories. And what we're talking about in the book, The Story We Tell Our Children, is that there is a better story, the story of reality, which is the story that unfolds throughout the Bible. And if you really simplify it down to four words for a child can understand that the Bible is about creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. That's the simplified story of the Bible, the simplified story of the gospel. And why is this important, Jerry? We need to tell the story of the Bible to children in a way where they can say, that is so much more of a compelling, powerful narrative of reality than the lies that the world is trying to tell me.
You know, as you were talking, I thought about one thing. You know, obviously, this is a very materialistic, society and culture. And then I think of the statement from Jesus, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So it's almost like stories in conflict there.
Absolutely. So you think about all of these, the phrase that popped to my mind when you said that is digital capitalism. That, in other words, that if I just buy enough stuff online, that it's somehow going to make me happy. We could also talk about the story of secularism to diminish God and put all the emphasis on myself. We could talk about the story of post-Christian culture, which is essentially the kingdom without the king, the things of God without the source of the person of Jesus Christ. All of these worldviews that we hear about in the news or we're reading about in the books we're reading, they're all a story. Neo-Marxism is a story. Critical theory is a story. They're all trying to tell children the story of reality. But guess what? Those realities are counterfeit. The only real reality is the gospel, that we were created. We came about as a result of a creator, God the Father, who loves us. But Adam and Eve fell in the garden. That's the fall. Jesus is the only one who can save us. That's redemption. And one day he's going to make all things back into perfection. That's restoration. That's a simplified story of the Bible in a way that a child can go, ah, I understand that narrative. I understand that story and how all the little stories of the Bible fit into context with that bigger story.
It was a biblical worldview that helped frame the United States of America. I'm a student of American history, and here we are celebrating our 150th anniversary. I think of what Dr. Paul Jaley, the president of the Plymouth Rock Foundation, once said. He said, Americans love the fruit of the, you know, the creation of this nation, but they don't like the root. In other words, the beliefs of the original, you know, the early Christians that founded America, like the Pilgrims, the Puritans, the Presbyterians, the Quakers, you know, et cetera, on a biblical worldview. So we like the fruit, but not the root. That's kind of like different stories in conflict, I would say.
That's exactly right. Your point, there's a Quaker theologian who said something very similar, that the United States and the West in general is a cut flower civilization. Very similar to what you said. Imagine a bouquet of flowers. They have been cut off from their root system. If I put those flowers in a vase, they've got maybe 6 to 8 days before they start to die. It's because they've been cut off from their root system. So those flowers are kind of like the outcomes of the gospel, the outcomes of a biblical worldview, the outcomes of what the Bible can teach us. And we are a society that has cut ourselves, the West, apart from God, that does not want the church, does not want the Bible, does not want Jesus, and in many cases doesn't want us as Christians in the marketplace. And so that's what's happening there, is we get separated from the source of these good things that have shaped Western civilization. Ultimately, that goes back to God and the Bible and the formation of a biblical Christian worldview.
That was Elton Trueblood, I believe, that said that. Okay, so tell us about Okay, good. Tell us about how Awana helps to counteract all these negative influences you're talking about.
Well, a child who goes to Awana, and by the way, we now have two major programs in the United States. We have a midweek program called Awana Clubs. That usually churches use these programs during the midweek, like maybe a Wednesday night or a Thursday night or a Sunday night. But then we have another new program called Bright, B-R-I-T-E, which is Sunday. So if your church does a Sunday school or children's church or a large group and small group. So both of these two programs are built around the three primary factors most known to shape lasting faith in Jesus. And we call those three primary factors belong, believe, become. Belong is highly relational. Believe is deeply scriptural, and become is experiential. In other words, how they live out their faith. So what we noticed through our research and through reading the Gospels and watching how Jesus made disciples is that when children are in environments that are highly relational, where there's loving, caring adults who are trying to disciple them and build relationships with them, combined with that second B of believe, that's engaging the scriptures, reading the Bible, teaching the Bible, memorizing the Bible, and thirdly, combined with that third B of become, that's living it out. That's when a child says, hey, I'm being bullied. What do I do about this? And how we help them navigate that. Or that's when they have a problem and we say, let me pray with you. And we help them live out their faith. So what our research shows is that when a child has all three of those Bs, belong, believe, become, they are more likely to remain in their faith than their peers who don't have those. So our programs are designed to reach kids with the gospel and to disciple them around that 3B approach that's most known to form biblical worldview.
When you do your different work with all kinds of different churches, what about a congregation where there's an interest in you know, teaching children about the Word of God and so forth, but there are no children involved in the churches. It tends to skew older. I'm sure as America grays more and more, such a phenomenon exists that you've encountered.
Well, that is a complex question, and those churches have macro level problems that they need to circle the wagons and figure out how they want to solve. Churches solve these problems in a variety of ways. Sometimes a church in that condition might look to another church that's trying to plant in their area, and they might partner with a young church plant and come together and share their resources to reach more kids and to basically replant that church to reach the next generation. Or sometimes those churches get together and begin to pray and cry out to God and beg God to bring young families to their churches. Or they might say, you know what, we've got a leadership succession problem. We need a younger leader, a younger pastor, so we need to go search for the next generation. So there's all sorts of ways to solve these problems, but it definitely involves the local congregation deciding kind of which path they want to go down to reach the next generation.
Now, with the Awana Club, since you know, even the name itself implies there's scripture at the heart of what you do. So tell us about, you know, how is the Word of God treated in the Awana Club? I mean, it's the name itself gets back to the Bible.
Absolutely. Yeah, so in all of our programs, whether it's our midweek program, Awana Clubs, or our weekend program, Bright, which is spelled B-R-I-T-E, in both of those programs, we use two primary methodologies, Bible teaching and Bible memorization. We have 75 years of ministry experience in 140 countries that shows that when children memorize the Bible and get it into their heart and get it into their head, kind of like when we were growing up in school, you know, we had to memorize things like the periodic table of elements. So we had to memorize vocabulary words. We had to memorize mathematical multiplication tables. That, you know, doctors and physicians today are doing surgery on parts of our bodies because they had to memorize anatomy. What's my point here? My point is Bible memory matters. Rote memorization is important in the formation of human beings. And when you get God's word into kids, it's like planting seeds of the trees of the future forest. And so Bible memorization is a key part. But the other part's Bible teaching. We teach large group and small group lessons, Sunday school lessons, or children's church lessons. And when children hear the Bible being taught and they sing it during kids' worship time or during adult worship and they're memorizing it, that type of Bible engagement can have a significant impact. Even if kids are only coming to church once a month or twice a month, when you multiply or you add that up over the course of their entire childhood, those seeds that are planted can come back and harvest the fruit of the gospel.
All right, we have about 1 minute left. Why don't we mention the book again, The Story We Tell Our Children? And I want to ask you this question. Was there some sort of incident that occurred in your life and you thought, oh, I've got to write a book about this? Writing a book is not easy, and, you know, congratulations on doing this. But why did this book come about?
Well, the book came about, again, the two words I would compare side by side are counterfeit and reality. Our children are being told counterfeit stories, but the gospel is that side-by-side story of reality. Almost like sitting in the smoking section of a restaurant when that smoke, you know, back when we were growing up, the smoke would drift over our direction and our parents would say, oh, that smoke is coming our direction. The secular's lies, the counterfeit stories are going to drift our direction. What do we do with that? We give our kids the reality of the gospel, creation, fall, redemption, restoration. That's the story of reality. That's the gospel, and that's what kids need from the Bible.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us. Again, we've been talking with Matt Markins. He's the CEO of the Awana Club International, which celebrates 75 years now, and their website is awana.org. Thank you, Matt. All the best.
It's great to be with you.